Hey guys, I'm your host, Tara A. Devlin, and welcome to this week's episode of Koobana, True Japanese Scary Stories from Around the Internet. Have you picked up the latest volume of Koobana, Volume 10, yet? If you haven't checked it out yet, do head over to Amazon to pick up your copy right now. We've got creepy curses, human horrors, vengeful ghosts, and much more on display, so don't miss out. This week, we're delving into the strange and often bizarre incidents that occur when dimensions merge. Kisaragi Station is perhaps one of the most famous alternate dimension stories to ever come out of the Japanese internet, but for our first story this week, we're taking a train to another destination. Where? Well, it's certainly not somewhere you want to end up, and for a very good reason. Find out why in Night Train to Another Dimension. This is a strange and scary experience I had that I still can't forget. It must have been about a year and a half ago now, when I was still working as an office lady. Day after day, I was exhausted by all the desk work, and so I slept on the last train home until I reached the final stop. There were even some days where it was so busy that I couldn't sit, and so I slept standing. One day, I stayed behind late at work doing overtime, and then, as the train finally approached the final stop, there were only a few people left on board. I sat at the very end of the row and leaned against the railing as I drifted into a shallow sleep. When I suddenly woke up, the train was still going. I always woke up just before reaching the final station, but I stared at myself in the window across from me, thinking that we would be there soon. And then I woke up. Seemed I had still been sleeping, but the train was still going. That's odd, I thought, and then pulled out my phone to check the time. It was 2:01 a.m. There was no way. I started to wake up more and more while, at the same time, my body went cold. Eh? Why? I checked my phone again, and it was definitely 2 o'clock. I stood up from my seat and looked around, but there was nobody else there. The train continued running at the same speed. I decided that I should try calling my parents. I still lived at home at the time. But when I tried, I just got a message telling me that the call couldn't connect. I looked at my phone again and it was out of range. It wasn't like I was on the subway, so why? Then I suddenly realized something. I should just go to the front of the train where the conductor was. I rushed over and then the train started to slow down as we reached the station. Half in shock, I looked at the station name. How was I supposed to read those characters? Takakuna? Kokuna? It looked like a tiny countryside station and I couldn't sense anyone on the platform. It was pitch black outside, but the station looked to be surrounded by rice fields and mountains. Where on earth was this place? And where on earth was I? The door made a sound and then opened. Should I get off? But I didn't know where I was. What should I do? Takakuna Station. I'd never heard of it before. And while I was thinking, the doors closed in front of me. Then the train picked up speed again. Ah. But still, it was better to ask questions first before getting off somewhere strange. I rushed to the front of the train. I passed through several cars, but there wasn't a single person on board. Why was nobody else here? Come on! Someone! Anyone! Please! I was almost at the front of the train when I finally saw someone sitting down. Finally, a person. I rushed over and, surprisingly, it was a boy who looked to be in the lower grades of elementary school. He was absorbed in a phone game or something in front of him. Excuse me? He looked up and, for a moment, his eyes looked surprised. The look passed, and then he asked, "What?" "Well, I fell asleep on the train and I don't know where we are right now. How silly of me. So, do you know where the train is heading right now? Sorry, but I have no idea where the train is going. Is that so? But... Eh? I do know that you shouldn't be here yet. The train started slowing down. What do you mean by that? If you get off at the wrong place, then... The train stopped. It seemed we'd arrived at another station. I glanced at the name and it was another station I'd never heard of. Shikikusatani? If I get off at the wrong place, then... What? Ah! This is my stop! Hey! Wait! The boy jumped out through the open doors. Sometimes there are people just like you on the train. Wait, I'll get off here too. You can't. But if you really want to, then come on. At that moment, I was chilled to my core. It was the first time that expressionless boy had smiled. This big smile that filled his face seemed to grin maliciously at me. I stood on the spot frozen, unable to say anything. Then the doors made a sound and closed. The boy stood on the other side, grinning at me as the train slowly pulled away. Then he was gone. By this point, I started to have a vague inkling of what was going on, but I desperately tried to deny the reality of it. Had I died? I was on a train going to an unknown destination. What the boy told me had been laden with meaning. Was this the afterlife? Did I die and not realize it? Was it an accident? Illness? Or... No, I couldn't think like that. I had to do something. I was still alive. At that very same moment, I heard ringing inside the train. I quickly checked my phone. It said, Dad. Dad! The phone had earlier been out of range, but now it had two bars on it. I quickly answered. Hey, where on earth are you? Are you still at work? I've been worried out of my mind. We haven't been able to contact you. Dad! I burst into tears, relieved to hear his voice. Hey, what on earth is going on? Dad? I explained everything that had happened up until that point through my tears. The train started slowing down again. We were close to another station. I see. But I've never heard of a train running this late. At any rate, get off at the next station. But I don't know where I am. Your phone has a GPS function, doesn't it? We'll use that to check where you are and I'll come and get you. The train arrived at the station at that exact same moment. The doors made some noise and then opened. All right, I'll get off here then. I stepped out of the train, and despite the fact it was summer, the air was cold and nobody else was around. The station sign was so rusty that I couldn't read the name. And despite the fact there were no more passengers on board, the train slowly took off again. Before long, it disappeared entirely. Dad? I got off the train. All right. Well then, hang up, and I'll check where you are. Don't go anywhere, and if something happens, call me back right away. The phone call with my father ended with a cold, mechanical beep. Now all I had to do was wait for my father to contact me and then pick me up. Knowing that I'd be home soon and having heard my father's voice, I was somewhat relieved. Did I really think, even just for a moment, that I had died? I looked at my phone screen again and saw that there were only two lines of battery left, so I quickly closed it. I'd be in big trouble if my phone battery died. Then it really would all be over. I couldn't use it again until my father contacted me. I looked around the station once again. I couldn't see anyone else, and it appeared that it was an unmanned station. I tried reading the sign again, but it was too rusted to make anything out. It didn't appear that the previous or next stations were written on the sign either. Looking around, the only thing I could see were rice fields and mountains surrounding the station. There was nothing else. It was cold. What was taking my father so long? But if you think about it, there were railway tracks, so if worst came to worst, then I could follow them to a large station, or at the very least, arrive in a residential area, right? As I was thinking this, my phone rang. It was from Dad. I answered. Dad? Hey, are you okay? I'm fine. But do you know where I am? About that. Apparently he tried to use my GPS function to find where I was, but it kept giving him an error no matter how many times he tried. As such, he was going to contact the police for me, and he asked me to check if there were any public phones or houses nearby. I told him about the previous stations, Takakuna and Shikikusadani, and he said that he would look into those as well, and then hung up. I looked around, but as expected, I couldn't even find any streetlights, let alone a public phone or some houses. I only had one bar left on my battery. My father said he was going to contact the police, but they might think he was just playing a prank. I didn't expect he'd find much from the station names, so I thought that maybe I should just start walking a little. At the very least, until I found a house somewhere. After debating it for a few minutes, I decided to walk alongside the railway tracks. I sent my father a message to let him know what I was doing, and then I started walking back towards the previous station. I must have walked for close to an hour, and I still hadn't found any houses. I thought about turning back, but I really didn't feel like returning to the same spot again. Every now and then, I could feel eyes on me from behind. I was too scared to turn around. But what concerned me even more than that was the fact that I hadn't reached the previous station yet. The stations weren't that far apart, and reaching it by foot shouldn't have taken so long, and yet there was no sign of it anywhere. The railway tracks felt like they went forever, on and on without end. I was so tired. My legs hurt, my emotions were frayed, and on top of that, the loneliness I felt made me fall to the ground in despair. I just wanted to go home. Dad. Mom. How long did I sit there for? Next thing I knew, there was a light far in the distance. What was it? It gradually got closer and closer. I soon realized it was a car. Dad? I stood up and waved my hands desperately. I briefly considered that it might not be my father, but I honestly didn't care who it was. I kept waving my hands anyway. The car approached and then pulled to a stop. No doubt about it, it was my father's car, and as expected, it was my father who stepped out of it. Dad! I ran over and hugged him before I could stop myself. You're okay now, he said in a gentle voice. My heart filled with relief. I could finally go home, back to our warm, warm house. You must be cold. Come on, get in the car. Yeah. We got in the car and he told me about what had happened up until that point. First, he contacted the police and told them what was going on. But of course, they didn't take him seriously. He gave up on them and kept trying the GPS over and over again. And just for a moment, it showed where I was. He quickly jotted it down and checked a map, which was how he was able to find me. But that was the only time he was able to get it to work, and even when he tried again and again after that, he just got an error. But the important part was that he knew where I was. A certain location in a certain prefecture. the prefecture next to where we lived, which meant that the train had taken me to the next prefecture over. "And those station names you told me," he continued, "apparently they're not in use anymore. That line was abandoned long ago." With all of the pent-up exhaustion, I was suddenly very sleepy. "Is that so?" "You don't seem very surprised." "I don't have enough energy to be surprised anymore." "But what about you? Do you actually believe me?"
"It doesn't matter whether I do or not, because you were actually there.
Maybe that train that no longer has any passengers called you to it."
"Maybe." I was so tired. I could feel my consciousness fading.
"Hmm?" A loud noise woke me up. It was my phone ringing. Half asleep, I pushed the answer button.
"Hello? Who's this?"
"Hello? It's Dad. I finally found where you are. I'm coming to get you now."
"Huh? Eh? What?"
"Like I said, I know where you are now. I'm coming to get you, so don't go anywhere." A chill ran through me. I looked to the side, and my father was driving the car.
"Eh? Huh?"
And then the call ended. The battery had run out. I stared at my father for a moment in silence.
"Dad?"
"Hey, Dad?" He remained silent and showed no expression on his face. I looked out the window, and all I could see were trees. We were supposed to be heading towards the city, so why?
"Where are we going?"
He didn't say a thing, just kept driving in silence. It was then that I realized something important. It took over an hour from our house to reach the next prefecture by car. It had taken him about an hour to come and get me after our last phone call, but before that, he spoke to the police and checked the GPS over and over again before finding my location on a map. Could he really come to get me so fast then? Was I wrong? But even if I was, something about him was clearly off.
"Dad, can you stop the car for a moment?"
He muttered something.
"Eh?"
"We have to go quickly. It's my fault."
I got chills. That wasn't my father's voice. It was low, like a growl. "If you get off at the wrong place." Those words came back to mind. It wasn't my father next to me. And if we kept going, then we'd end up somewhere strange. I had to escape. I had to get out. It was all I could think about, and as the car slowed down to turn a corner, I readied myself and jumped from the car. When I woke up, I was lying in a hospital bed. It seemed to be the city hospital, and according to the doctor, a passerby found me lying on the side of the road in the mountains and called an ambulance for me. I called my parents and this time they came to pick me up for real. Strangely, when I asked my father about what happened the night before, he said he didn't know anything about it. We hadn't spoken on the phone, and he'd heard that I was spending the night at work. Who on earth was that person pretending to be my father? Who had I spoken to on the phone? And who was that boy, and what was that station? Even now, I still have no idea. And in the end, I don't think I ever will know either.
Memories are strange, fickle things. Have you ever remembered something only to find that others remember that same event slightly differently? Well, what if you remembered something entirely different that nobody else did? That's what happened to the young man in this next story, and now he's not sure if he's even in the right world anymore. Find out why in My memories don't match. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But this story just doesn't make any sense to me. For some reason, pretty much all of my memories of my childhood are gone. I was hoping that if there was some kind of trigger, that maybe I might remember them, but I haven't been able to. But even so, the things that I do remember, I can remember all of the finer details, so it's strange. And I've realized that a lot of my memories up until high school are just gone. But then, when I talk about the memories I do have with my parents or my older relatives, they tell me that that never happened, that I'm remembering it wrong and things like that. They won't hear me out at all. Like, when I told them about something I remembered from the past, they would look at me with a screwed up face like, that never happened. Of course, there are some memories we share in common, but there aren't that many. And so, I've been starting to wonder if it really is just me. Like, one time when I was walking down the road, I saw an izakaya bar that had been there for 10 years undergoing renovations. I asked a neighbor about it, but they were like, "What?" And that was when I learned that it was soon going to be an izakaya. Before that, the lot had been empty for many years. Yet in my memories, that izakaya had already been there for at least 10 years prior. Then, when I asked about the name of this future izakaya, it was the same name that I remembered for the one that already existed in my memories. It could just be that I'm remembering things wrong. This happens sometimes. But I think people around me find me strange and don't want to talk to me because of it. That's also why I naturally stopped talking at family gatherings, because I was scared that my parents or other family members might think I was strange. As for my parents, when I was 7, my mother made the mistake of backing up on a rainy day when the windshield was being pelted by heavy rain, and she crashed into my father's car parked behind her, which injured her badly. She was covered in blood, and I remember both that and the sight of my father panicking so vividly. The ambulance even came to take her away. And yet, neither of my parents remember such a thing happening. They said I was probably just mixing things up. Children have a habit of doing that with their memories, and at the time, I agreed with them. But that incident with the izakaya was different. This is something that happened just recently. In addition to the izakaya, there was another building that was supposed to be there, but wasn't. It turns out that this building did once exist, but it was before I was even born. I have these kind of mismatched memories all the time. But I have a memory of something that may have triggered this. But it's like, what? And maybe it's just me that's weird. When I was 20, I was walking through the shopping district when I saw something strange coming towards me from the other side. But the thing is, I don't remember what that strange thing was. I can't remember what it was that I saw. What I do remember is feeling dizzy, but I just stood there on the spot as it came towards me. I probably annoyed the other shoppers, but anyway. When you take a photo of something that's moving fast, it looks kind of blurry, right? Sorry, I can't explain it very well. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That was kind of how everything around me looked. This dizzy feeling didn't even last for a minute, but then it passed and I walked home like normal. I still wonder what exactly happened that day, but it all started after that. My memories no longer matched my surroundings. I've seen a lot of talk about space-time and parallel dimensions and that sort of thing lately. And at first I laughed about it, like, there's no way that could be related to me. But it's kind of scary when I think about how my memories don't match. I'm afraid that the world I'm in now is different to the one I came from.
I'm no longer close to my parents or relatives, and I can't talk to my childhood friends either because everything is different. So we're estranged as well. I went to my elementary and junior high reunions, but I saw people who shouldn't have been there, and others that should have been there were missing. So it was weird and confusing. There were people who said we were good friends, but I had no idea who they were, so there was no way. And so I stopped going to reunions after that. I don't know if this is related or not, but there's a famous Qigong master who performed massages and stuff, and a friend took me to see him to cure my stiff shoulders. Long ago, there used to be a TV show where they used the power of qi to move people or blow their qi away, right? Well, this master seemed to be able to do that, and he actually sent my friend flying. Everyone who was there laughed at how funny it was. So, when it was my turn, I was excited for when I might get tossed into the mattresses behind me. It was kind of like a demonstration with all of these people there watching us. But the master tried several times and nothing happened. And in the end, it was him that got blown back instead. Everyone there watched in shock, like, "Eh? What just happened?" I had no idea what was going on, but the master said that these things happen sometimes, but when I stepped towards him, he backed away from me. As I was leaving, he said that my qi seemed different to that of other people. "How is it different?" I asked him angrily, but he just looked at my friend next to him with a troubled look on his face, so I didn't push it any further. Maybe he couldn't explain it, but either way, it still upset me. At some point, I lost contact with that friend as well. We had been friends since junior high, but many of our memories didn't match, so he probably found that weird. Sometimes it was like we were forcing ourselves to talk to each other. I'm sorry to anyone who likes talking about parallel worlds and such, but it's not a funny or enjoyable story to me. Even supposing that I could go back to that other world, more than 10 years have passed since then, so I wouldn't fit in there either. I'm doing my best to stay positive and look to the future, but honestly, I'm scared of meeting other people. When some kids head out to collect empty cans for a school fundraising event, they decide to show their hideout in the forest to the new kid at the same time. But when they get there, they don't find the hideout. They find something else entirely. Something that is about to change their lives forever. Find out why in Sayama Alternate Dimension Incident. About 20 years ago, when I was in the fourth grade, I transferred to Fujimi Elementary School in Sayama City, Saitama Prefecture. You can look it up on Google Maps. It's right there. So, at this school, well, maybe it was only popular in Saitama at the time, but each semester, we had an event where each class collected empty cans. Maybe they were used to buy wheelchairs or make donations or something, I'm not sure. But anyway, this was an event we had. I used to live in Higashi Murayama in Tokyo, and I don't remember doing such an event there, so maybe it was just in Saitama. Each class would compete to see who could collect the most empty cans, and each morning, students would bring the cans to their class and then put them in like a recycling box at the front of the room while the other students waited. It was pretty exciting, and everyone would be like, "We only need 3 more cans to reach the top." The event went for about a week, but naturally, after the first 3 days, most kids ran out of empty cans from home. After that, it might be like a single beer can that a parent drank or something. As such, that meant that we wouldn't be able to maintain such a massive lead over the other classes. And so, 3 friends and I decided that we'd go looking through some nearby forests and parks to see what cans we could find there. We met up after school at a friend's house, and then
we set out on our trip to find cans. But it was harder to find empty cans than we thought it would be. We told our classmates that we'd bring a whole bunch of cans the following day, and at first we were just playing around, but then we started to take the search more seriously. We looked all over before we arrived at a certain spot. You can find it on Google Maps, close to the Sayama City Junior High School. It was a forest that I still remember clearly. That was definitely it. I also remember why we ended up there. I had just transferred to the school, so my friends wanted to show me their secret base while we were out looking for cans. There was an abandoned school building in the forest, and lots of kids used it as their secret hideout. Anyway, we went in, but there was no such building. Was it demolished? Why isn't it here? I remember them saying something like that. As a side note, looking at the map again just now, I see the junior high next to the forest, so now I'm starting to wonder if it ever really was there to begin with. The forest was quite dark and eerie when we went in. The abandoned school was supposed to be somewhere in the middle, but because there was nothing there, we continued our search for cans to the right side of the forest. If you look at the map, you can see a path that leads to the north now, but there was no such path at the time. "I still can't find any," someone said after we'd been walking through the forest for a few minutes. "Well, it's not like people would throw cans away this far into the forest," said someone else. Then, as I was walking forward, I was suddenly assaulted by a strange feeling. It was similar to the sensation of turning on the TV in my room. It wasn't sound, but rather silence that accompanied radio waves or electricity or something. Like something was interfering with the place. The other three seemed to sense it as well, and they all went pale. "What the hell? That was weird," one of them said, and started walking ahead of us. We quickly followed so as not to be left behind. I remember thinking that if he left us behind, then we would die. That was how afraid I was. We walked for another 20 or 30 seconds, and then we found ourselves suddenly out of the forest and in an open area. There was no way we could have suddenly cleared the forest. It should have been there, but it was suddenly gone. But in front of us, we found a row of old one-story houses. All of the curtains in them were closed. They all looked really old, and there was something strange about them. I couldn't sense anyone there, and yet it felt like we were being watched by a large crowd of people. The air also felt oddly dry, like we'd been sucked into an old photograph, and the air wasn't of this world. I can still remember that feeling even now. War? I remember my friend said something that didn't make much sense. Nervously, the four of us walked forward. I still don't know why we did. We were scared, so we should have run away. But we went forward, and there really was something strange about the place. The colour of everything was pale. It was like I just said, like we'd been sucked into an old colour photograph or something. Not just the buildings, but the sky and everything was strange too. We walked and walked, but all the houses looked the same. The curtains were closed, and it felt like people were watching us. And the colour of everything was so strange. I was so afraid that I was ready to run away by myself, but then I heard the voice of an old woman come from somewhere out the back. She sounded just like a yokai.
"Who's that out there?" the voice said.
It sounds just like a cheap ghost story, but I still can't get that voice out of my head. It was like it was right there, in my head. The four of us screamed and ran. We ran in the opposite direction that we'd come from, and then when we looked up, there was an old lady standing there holding a sickle, like the type they use to cut grass. Ah, oh, we're going to die, I thought. The old woman's face looked just like a Hanya mask. We dashed past her, but she didn't do anything. We're saved, I thought, and didn't even question it. We screamed all the way back to our bikes, and then the three of us got on and rode away. My face was a mess from crying. We stopped by a nearby toy shop called Ponyland that has now gone out of business. It was a bright location, and we wanted to be around other people at that moment. Two things happened after that. First, Owata-kun, who ran away with us, broke his right hand. The bone was sticking out from the base. This probably happened as we were running away. There was a big panic, and I think a housewife who was passing by called an ambulance for him. He hadn't noticed it himself, but I was surprised that he could ride his bicycle like that. Second, there were only three of us. Four of us had gone, but Izutsu-kun wasn't with us. He had never been there to begin with. I don't really remember it well, but I think I had a friend who went by that name, and the other two thought so as well. But he didn't exist. He wasn't in our graduation album, and when we went to his house, there was a different name on the nameplate. I still have no idea what happened, and we went back numerous times after that, but it was creepy, so we could only go near the forest and not actually in it. Did Izutsu-kun really never exist? But I remember that he had a mini four-wheel drive Burning Sun that was really popular at the time, and it was quite fast. My parents always look at me like I'm a weirdo whenever I bring this up, so I don't talk to them about it anymore. But like, was that another dimension or something? I wonder if he's still there, in that other dimension. Imagine you've just come home from school and your mother is cooking in the kitchen like always. Except she's not supposed to be home today. She should be at work. And why won't she turn around? Is that really your mother? Or perhaps someone or something else? This is the dilemma a young man in this next story faces, and the truth is perhaps not something he could have ever expected. Find out why in Mum in the Kitchen. This is a story about something like a doppelganger. One evening, my mum was cooking in the kitchen when I came home from high school. I wasn't a member of any clubs, so it was usually around 6:30 p.m. when I got home. Of course, it was normal for my mother to be making dinner, but she also worked part-time 3 days a week and didn't get home until after 7, so I didn't expect to see her there. That morning, she said she had work. So did she come home early? I'm home, I said, and then went to my room to get changed before heading to the living room. I laid down on the couch to watch some TV. Welcome back, my mother said from the kitchen without turning around. I lived at home with my parents and younger sister. It was a small house, and my sister was a member of the tennis club at school, so she usually didn't get home until 8 p.m. As for my dad, he was a travelling salesman, so we usually only saw him in the mornings. There were four cream dorayaki sitting on the table in the living room, with a note that said, "Two per person max." I was starving, so I ate two of them, and then put the pot on to make some tea. "The stew will be ready soon. Do you want to eat now?" my mother then asked. "No, I just had some dorayaki, so I'm okay," I said to my mother's back. She still hadn't turned around. Then I suddenly realized something. If my mother was home, then why were there snacks on the table? I always went ahead and ate my sister's snacks as well, so there was no way Mum would leave them out if she was home.
everything was different to usual. It was strange. I looked at my mother's back. That permed hair that reached her shoulders, small back and blue pants she always wore were definitely her. But I still hadn't seen her face since I got home. Maybe she got fired. Or maybe she was in a bad mood. "Yeah, let's eat together when your sister gets home," she then said, as though reading my thoughts. "Yeah, sounds good," I replied. But what did she mean by that? I wanted to ask, but I closed my mouth and just looked at her back. She stared at the bubbling pot beneath her and showed no signs of moving. Was that woman cooking in the kitchen actually my mother? Should I check her face? But what would I do if she really was a different person? No, that would be preferable. What if she wasn't even a person at all? I stood up and rushed over to the front door. At the time, I was into running to build up my stamina and prepare for a marathon. I put my shoes on and left the house. I closed the gate and, when I turned around, the living room and the kitchen were both dark. I ran my usual route twice in about 30 minutes, and then I went home. As I got there, I found my mother trying to open the gate with some shopping bags in hand. She smiled when she noticed me. "Oh, you just getting home?" "Huh? What about the stew?" I asked. "Stew? We're not having stew today. That'll take too long. How about some stir-fried vegetables instead?" "Ah, sure. Sorry." We went inside. The house was dark and we walked down the dark hallway to the kitchen. There was nobody there. We turned the lights on and it looked just like it had when we all left that morning. Sometime later, both my sister and I moved out to attend university in other prefectures. I work in Tokyo now and my sister works at a large department store in another prefecture. Recently, our mother came to Tokyo on a trip and stayed with me for a few days. We went to Ginza on Saturday to eat and then went back to my apartment. We drank a few beers that night and I told her about what happened that strange day. Then she fell silent for a moment and looked at the ground. "Back then, I was often upset that your father rarely came home, right? Well, he actually had another woman on the side, and we were talking about getting divorced. That's why I was in such a rush to find a part-time job. But because it had been so long, it was hard to get used to at first. Things were so tough that I occasionally thought about ending it all." Then she continued, "And taking you with me. Of course, I couldn't actually do it, but that's how tough things were. It really was for the best that your father's girlfriend then dumped him. So what you saw that time might actually have been my ikiryo, my living spirit." Then she looked up and smiled. "And so, as strange as it sounds, I don't think it was my mother's living spirit that I saw cooking in the kitchen that time, but it was actually her. It wasn't like she left her job to cook, but at that time, there were two versions of my mum in town at the same time. One who was cooking in the kitchen and one who was working her part-time job. If I hadn't eaten the dorayaki and instead had the stew, then that would have perhaps been the turning point for my world and where it would have branched into a parallel world. As a side note, apparently the person who my father was cheating with died in a car accident. My mother smiled and said that she dumped him, but in reality, she died. Don't forget to pick up Kowabana Volume 10, available on Amazon right now, and check out our newly revamped merchandise store at kowabana.store.
And if you'd like to chat about this week's stories, come and join us in the Coabana Discord. You can find that link in the description or on coabana.net. You can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TaraA Devlin for exclusive bonus stories and extras, or our YouTube channel at youtube.com/KoabanaJapan for all sorts of Japanese horror you won't find anywhere else. Thanks, guys. Stay safe, and I'll see you again next time for even more Koabana, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet. Want even more scary stories? Head over to koabana.net for new translations every week. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to koabana.net now.